Amen and amen. If you can kneel, let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this beautiful Sabbath day. And thank you for blessing this week behind us and the week ahead of us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain. And please, Father, bridle our hearts, our tongues, our eyes, our minds, everything that we need bridled so that we can be worthy recipients of the latter rain. And please bless us with your presence throughout this service today. And bless everyone in attendance and all those on our prayer list, too. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our King and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Brother James just told me in a PM that they just had an earthquake in Michigan 30 minutes ago. And he says it shook the house. And yeah, that is very rare. You know, just like the one we had out here in Indiana years ago. That is amazing. That should be ready, R-E-D-D-Y. But, yeah, it was a private joke between me and Chase. We had all these, well, you actually started it with that yellow and then, the colors for words. So, anyway, amen, amen. All right, yes, I'm ready for the Q&A. And we're on number 17. For those of you that are new, you just scroll down underneath the text chat and you'll see the notes. And I want to welcome George, Margaret, and Mark number 4 down there at the bottom of the chat room. Maybe I should make that to where the visitors come to the top or something, but I don't know if I, maybe, or in the middle or something, I don't know. Anyway, let's see, a sister Tandra here. She sent me an email. Yep, there she is. Yeah, after church, like during fellowship or something like that, if you remind me, I'll help you change your name so that you and hubby could come in together on the same name. Or he can just, register his own name if you got two computers. So, and I can't use the at sign in usernames. So. Anyway, question number 17. What are we not to forsake? Thank you, Brother Gorin. Hebrews 10:25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And this is one of the reasons we see what's been happening recently. And this is also why we gather on Sabbath in this online service. Even though some of us live hundreds and even thousands of miles apart, the Lord has found a way to help us gather together as we see the day approaching. And we can clearly see that day approaching right now. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how his hand moves upon his precious bride. He knows we love him, and he knows we are widely scattered throughout the world because most just don't believe the way we do. And so he gives us a way to gather online like this. It's just amazing. I mean, soon, we're going to be offline due to the more and more prophesied unjust laws. And then we can gather on teleconferencing lines. If, in fact, they don't, well, see, with the problem with the teleconferencing lines, they monitor those. They monitor all the chat rooms except like the one we have, because ours is on our own server and the server's in my home, and so they can't get permission. Now, if you had a server in an ISP, well, then they got a back door. The ISP has to allow them that. That's the law. But if you're your own ISP, they got to contact you, and I'm going to say no if they do. So they never contacted me, though, because I'm not really seen as my own ISP to them, because I don't offer internet services to people. You know, we'd like they used to do in the old days. I mean, with the amount of bandwidth I have now, in the old days, you can, I think, give 1,000 people internet access using dial-up, maybe more. I think that was 1,000 with the T1, because we got a little more than five times that now. Because a T1 is 1.5, and what we have is 10 meg. So it's like eight times. But still, we don't offer it out, so they can't. But still, with the teleconferencing thing, monitoring it the way they will, and they already are, probably, when they have what they consider to be an excuse, that is, we could do it that way. Or there are other methods that will allow us to meet still online, too, that I haven't divulged publicly, and I won't until that day comes. But there are other ways to access the internet without anyone knowing where you're at. Still, praise his name, there are other ways for us to gather, even, you know, when they do eventually try to prevent us. And by the way, I'm sure most of you already know this, so I repeat this for the sake of the new and the truth that are either in attendance now or are going to be listening to the recording later. The reason our numbers are not in the billions, you know, like you see with the Muslims and the Catholics, or even millions, like all the corrupt churches, is because it says in Revelation 14, verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women. As a matter of fact, I did a video on this a couple of weeks ago. You know, the Bible verse goes on to say, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And we know the day is approaching where Jesus returns, and knowing his prophetic word, we are also aware that the majority of the people in the world, whether they claim to know Jesus or not, are very corrupt, and so we cannot join with them. And the two worst corrupted religions out there are, of course, Islam and Roman Catholicism, which are actually one and the same, because we already have eyewitness testimony of an actual ex-Muslim. I think he was a preacher, or whatever they call it. Like, I don't know if he was an imam or anything, but on camera declaring, you know, that he left, even though he appears to have stayed in. But, well, what I mean is that video I did a while ago, and some people have posted it on their YouTube pages, which I'm totally okay with, except for when they edit them. And one guy did do that. He edited it, took out my comments in the front and the back, which is so annoying. But, you know, anyway, he stated in the video, more or less, that he decided to become a Christian because of what he saw in the Quran, which talked about Mary, mostly. So he's actually saying he decided to become a Catholic, which means he never actually went anywhere. He's in the same church that he was before. He's showing how, because we've been saying for decades that the Vatican wrote the Quran, and there was actually documentation from an ex-Jesuit priest who proved it. He actually proved it, and then they killed him for it. They killed him for his evidence. And so we've been echoing his statements for decades, that Ribera guy, that ex-Jesuit. But it wasn't until that video came out that many people started to realize that, yeah, maybe these crazy Christians have something there. Because Catholicism had to create a way to be able to kill the Christians that they loved to kill ever since, 2,000 years ago. You know, when they started off with the persecution in the 10-year situation with Diocletian, whatever his name was. But then, of course, the 538 to 1798, with they killed 500 million Christians. And then, of course, the thing with Hitler. And, you know, they're always hiding behind somebody, you know, so that they can play their little moral card out front. So we can't join with that. I mean, and this is why our numbers are so small. So as is obvious, when we came into the truth, as some of you have done, myself included, we looked for churches that believed as we do and found absolutely none in our area. And even as I left the Catholic church and then left the Chicago area, where there's, I mean, most of the churches up there, like when someone calls themselves Protestant or non-denominational, they're actually, may as well just say that they're Roman Catholic. Because they do everything from Sunday keeping to Christmas to wedding rings. I mean, it's just all Catholicism. That's all it is. And but when you get away from the big cities and stuff like that, and you come out here in the boondocks, what some of them in the city call it, or the rural areas, or the farmland, you would think that being as close to the Bible Belt as we're getting here, that there would be a little bit more sanity on the pulpit, but it don't seem to be there either. And so, you know, eventually the Lord led us here, and we meet online. But that's not my point. My point is the Lord has us widely scattered so that when that latter rain falls more abundantly, because it's already sprinkling now, when that latter rain falls more abundantly, we're going to be able to go forth in a global manner, proclaiming the final and most important message that will actually bring on the Sunday laws. I know there's preachers out there preaching that complete 360 on that, but the Bible's clear. You know, we have the documentation in regards to all the articles that are going out there already. In regards to them hating the truth we already preach, and we get a small voice now. So, another reason our numbers are small is first and foremost because Scripture says we will be a remnant of her seed in Revelation 12, verse 17. And please don't PM me during studies or sermons. That's very distracting. Thank you. All right. A lot of new people don't know. It's no big problem, so just please. All right, so, but anyway, the main reason is, you know, in regards to the remnant of the seed of Revelation 12, 17, I mean, the main reason is so that our God can be glorified. I mean, it's just like when David ran towards Goliath. It was obvious. God fought that day. And there's no way that rudy little youth could have taken on a guy that was 9'2". Or what about the Gideon? You know, band that we call them. Well, we call the 144,000 the Gideon band today, but Gideon himself, who with his army, lowered by God, down to 300 men who fought the Midianites and their friends. I mean, right off, 15,000 of them fled from Gideon's 300, and their leaders were captured and slain. And when it was all said and done, because this went on for a little bit, over 120,000 people died. Because of those 300 men. I mean, the power of the Midianites were forever broken, preventing them from ever making war against Israel again. So now do you see why I like to refer to the 144,000 as the Gideon band? I mean, if the plagues were to begin today, and for some strange reason, some people are actually believing they have already started. Some people believe that the plagues have already begun, which the Sunday laws have to come first, then the plagues. And so, but this is what happens when people prefer to listen to preachers rather than read Bibles. I mean, there's a lot of echoing going on, let's just put it that way. So, but still, if the plagues were to begin today, the 144,000 would glorify the Lord and never even be touched by the now 7.2 billion people seeking to kill them when the death penalty of the mark is put forth. As he did with Gideon and his army, God will do with us if we are found faithful to be in that long prophesied number. And their weapons will fall useless at their sides. And seeing as we're looking up and the eastern sky splitting and the rainbows about us and all that other good stuff, we're not even going to notice their weapons falling. We could care less what they're doing. They'll actually be dropping to their knees in worship before us. The prophecy states. But again, we could care less. We're looking up at He who sits on the throne and His Son. And yes, they will worship before us. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, how would they even worship man? Well, they're doing it now. The popes have been worshipped for eons. To this day, the Pope calls himself God on earth, present Pope included. And, people call rock stars gods. People call sports athletes gods. I mean, and there's politicians out there acting like this now, especially in some nations. I mean, look at North Korea. He's considered a god. Well, so he thinks. And yeah, thanks for reminding me. They in the text chat there. They, especially when Obama came into office when he was starting out in 2008, his first term, people put forth all sorts of icons and paintings and pictures and videos of him being some kind of a messiah. I mean, they had halos. They always made sure they would take pictures of him standing underneath a white light, like a street light with a round globe, and they would make the picture just perfect enough to where you would see like a halo around his head. And that's Roman Catholicism right there, you know, because the halo is actually symbolic of Baal. You know, it has nothing to do with the God of heaven. Baal is that round ball that we call that sun. You know, that yellow ball in the sky, it's a star. That's all it is. They look at it as a god. And so they put it as many places as they can. And but yeah, I actually have a video that I posted where there were people praying to Obama as if he was a living, breathing God on earth, and he could hear them. But that's to be expected, as close to the end as we are, because Caesar thought himself to be a god, and Herod, as he was politically puffing himself up, sought recognition as a god, to the point where people actually, it even discusses that in Scripture, where he puffed himself up, and someone says, this is not the oration of a man, it's the oration of a god. You know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, and then what happened? Because he did not give God the glory, he died right in front of their faces. The worms just ate him up from the inside, killed him instantly. And so, yeah, amen, they worship the creature more than the creator. I mean, that goes without saying everywhere you look. I mean, look at the way they advertise candy bars, cars. I mean, everything's sexy. They're all worshiping, you know, like if you're a guy, they'll get you out there to worship the girl. If you're a girl, they'll get you out there to worship the guy. If you're homosexual, well, then, you know, it goes that way. And so, yeah, thank you, Brother Sean. There, yeah, right there, Herod. Oh, well, for the sake of those on the radio, it says Acts 12, verses 21 to 3. It says, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Then the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost, or his ability to breathe. You know, the spirit in prophecy has to do with the word pneumatic. I mean, like the pneuma thing, like pneumonia, pneumatic tires, that kind of. It has to do with the breathing. And this is where the Catholic Church also took things out of context and twisted around to make people believe that they can pray to saints like Mary and Joseph and Stanislaus and Anthony and all these other Catholic pagan gods, making them think that when you die, you go to heaven directly and you're floating on a cloud, storm on a harp or something, like you're a ghost. And this is why devil has the power in some households to literally sit at the edge of your bed in the middle of the night one night when you get up to go to the bathroom, whatever, and all of a sudden you see your dead grandma sitting there. And you believe it's her because it smells like her, talks like her, looks like her, wears the same clothing as she does, has the same inflections and the same walk or whatever. Because the devil, I mean, he's a super intelligent being. And if you don't read a Bible, he knows he can use that on you. Because you don't know the Bible specifically states, when you're dead, you're going to stay there until that eastern sky splits. Unless, of course, you look in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23, in regards to a certain order, some people were allowed to resurrect because of what went down when Jesus resurrected. And then later on, we discovered, and praise God, it was confirmation of something the Lord revealed to me decades ago, that the 24 elders in heaven are those people that rose from the dead when Jesus did, to go into the cities to tell them of the great news that what just went down. And then also you got Enoch, Elijah, and Moses. And that's why you see 1 Corinthians 20, verses 20 to 23, or no, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 and 23, where it says, every man in his own order. So the overwhelming, undeniable, unequivocal, you know, majority of the people on the planet, and that's tens of billions, because right now we got 7.2 billion. A generation ago we had 6 billion. But let's just say 100 years ago we had 3 billion. Okay. Those 3 billion are dead. There are 7.2 billion alive today. That's 10 billion right there. And that's not counting the last 6,000 years. So there's tens of billions of people in the graves. and they're not in heaven. They're not. Even King David, as a matter of fact, one of the apostles had to clarify this in the book of Acts, because a lot of the people back then even believed that when you died, you went straight to heaven or hell immediately. And he had to clarify that King David, as blessed as he was, out of his own lineage comes Christ the Lord, out of that family line. He said that King David is still in the grave. And that was after the cross of Christ. So even David wasn't considered one of those 24 elders. So. Okay, let's see if we can get to the next one here. Oh, yeah, we got 10 minutes left. I think that I could do this one. Now, this one here, number 18. It says, the Sabbath of rest is for an holy what? Oh, by the way, the point that I was making a minute ago in regards to we see some of this stuff happening now about people forsaking the fellowship as we see the day approaching. This is why some people that I believe are still in the truth, they just slipped off the path a little bit, got pulled away by the opposite sex, be it man or woman, and have left our number because the devil doesn't want them in this number. Even though they still have the same mindset, the same belief as we do, the same statement of faith, they step off because whether they're afraid to do the Matthew 18 thing out of embarrassment or obedience or whatever, or they're just lured away by lusts of the flesh, whatever the case may be, this is why you see what's happening now. And it's going to continue to happen until that eastern sky splits. Well, until, the plagues start. You know, there's not going to be a lot of stepping off the path with the Gideon band. It's not going to be any problem there at all. But the fact of the matter is, people are leaving the church sometimes, and some of them are real shockers when they leave, because the devil knows the day's approaching. And iron sharpeneth iron. There's a reason Christ calls the church his body. And you know, there's a reason his bride, you know, I mean, how beautiful it is for like-minded brethren to dwell together in unity. And the devil does all he can to prevent that unity. And he can't infiltrate us like he usually does in all the other churches. If you go into all the other churches, you see how the infiltration has gotten to such a point where those churches are corrupt from top to bottom. You don't even want to carry the name. You can't call yourself SDA. You can't call yourself Baptist. You can't call yourself anything now with these churches, because they're all corrupt. They're all in apostasy. They're all either Babylon or the Sisters of Babylon. And so Revelation 18 is clear. You got to leave those churches. But it's easy for him, you know, the devil, to attack those because of the brick and mortar thing. And you got the cliques that go on in the churches, and then the temptation, you know, across the board with what goes on in the pews while you're sitting there. But the fact remains, here it's not so easy to infiltrate. It's just like when the church started. It started out in homes. Well, that's where it's going to end up, too. Because what we preach, what we teach, what we embrace as Christians is going to be illegal. I mean, it's already illegal in America. If you declare that you will not bake a cake for a homosexual, you have committed a crime. And they could sue you in a civil courtroom for tens of thousands of dollars. So that's considered a crime now. And so being a Christian now is actually, you know, I mean, like in places like China, they literally meet in caves and hovels and forests and stuff. And sometimes get found out and get slaughtered. We are in that time. It is that time that, you know, right before Jacob's trouble. That little time of trouble when the martyrdom's going on. I mean, over 200,000 Christians, and that's just the ones they report. You know, they got to keep it out there just enough to keep the Christians, the weak ones, fearful. But they don't want it to go out there to where, you know, it's like 400, maybe 500,000 a year, like it was for Rome during the Inquisition. Because then it'll be, people will just be appalled left and right. And small sources, news media, are going to go out there with a number of 200,000 or more. Mainstream ain't going to mention stuff like that. They'll say, you know, 300 or 400 died here, or 300 or 400 died there. You know, that's no big deal. You know, it's not genocide. When in fact it is, no matter how small the number is, but still, it's happening globally now, and they cover up a lot of it. As a matter of fact, there was a woman that was just prevented from Obama himself. Prevented her from coming into the nation. because she was going to report on what's happening to the Christians. And they don't want to hear it, or they don't want us to hear it. They have better control over the media when they give the numbers out that they want to put out. So again, close as we are to the end, the devil's going to do the best he can to split us up. And in some cases it works, because people are weak. But still, like I said, I do believe that for the majority of those that have left our number recently, I still believe they're on the same page in a lot of ways, except for, of course, the ones that went way off and started talking about flat earth and lunar Sabbaths and, you know, feast days and stuff like that. But anyway, let's see if I can get this next one in here, because I went on a little bit. So anyway, number 18, the Sabbath of rest is for a holy what? Or an holy what? I don't know why the guy uses Old English there, but Leviticus 23, verse 3. And Brother Gorin already put it in, so it's up a little bit high there on the chat. It says, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And then as the study shares, it says the Hebrew word used here means a public meeting, assembling, calling, reading, you know, whatever. So, as many of us already realize, the feast days were abolished at the cross. But the spiritual aspect of the feast day is still going on. This is another reason it's impossible to keep the feast days, because how do you keep the physical ones as well as the spiritual ones simultaneously? We are now living in the great spiritual day of atonement. We are getting ready for our Lord's return, wherein our sins will be forever wiped out. We're in the investigated judgment. We actually, Brother Craig, did a sermon series on that. In the typical or physical service, as the high priest made the atonement for all of Israel, all of the obedient souls were required to afflict their souls by repentance of sin before the Lord. If they refused, they would be cut off from among the people and placed outside the camp to die. You know, this is kind of similar to the end result of Matthew 18, by the way. Verse 17, you got to treat them like the heathen and the publican. You turn around and walk away. Today, all who would hopefully have their names written and retained in the book of life should know that in these last days of probation, that we must also repent before the Lord returns. We got to get ready. And this is why, you know, our banner, if you will, is strive on to that perfection. We want the latter rain to fall more abundantly on us. And so we know we have to prepare for that. That's why we're doing what we're doing. And most Christians today fail to realize the importance of repentance, because most are, you know, just plain disobedient and don't even realize what time it is. They're more apt to follow whatever their flesh tells them they, you know, got to do. And at the same time, pull out that hammer and nails and do as much in their spiritual walk as they possibly can. They don't want to give it all up for Christ and let Him direct what is going to happen next in their lives. People like to jump the gun and say, I want this in my life, I want that in my life. Well, what if the Lord doesn't want you to have that at that time? People put their eternal life in jeopardy all because they want a moment of enjoyment. So, still, being disobedient, they don't realize what time it is, let alone the fact that the true Sabbath is considered a holy convocation of God's people, wherein they're required to be with the Lord in prayer, as well as with repentant hearts. It says in Exodus 31, verses 12 to 17, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Now, stopping here for a moment, we can see that like a convocation, which is to be a gathering of the people, as we read a moment ago, the Lord calls His Sabbath a holy convocation as well. And then continuing, it says, Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death, for whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Now, yes. We understand we no longer stone people and put them to death on the spot because Jesus came 2,000 years ago to not only reiterate the truth in all this, as well as to glorify the Lord. He did clearly say with his own lips, as well as through his prophets, that those that break his Sabbath will still be put to death, but that death will be eternal at the end of the 1,000 years. And by the way, this is why Muslims kill as they do today. Rome knew when they wrote their Quran that if they could get them to ignore the truth put forth by Jesus and refuse to call him God or even Messiah, they just call him prophet, they would naturally think the killing must be continued. But if they can keep him at a lower line of sight in their vision, then they believe it's like the Old Testament times. You got to go out and stone people immediately and do this and do that. And so Rome now used them to do as prophecy said that they would do. But anyway, continuing in Exodus, it says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the seventh day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout your or their generations for a perpetual covenant. There's no getting around that, is there? I mean, the word perpetual is translated in the Hebrews, in Hebrew as everlasting or evermore or always or indefinite and forever. You can find that in Strong's number 5769. And in short, the Sabbath is eternal. It cannot be done away with at the cross or any time in eternity, for it is also written in Isaiah 66:23 that we will be keeping the Sabbath in heaven for all eternity. The fact people keep Sunday holy confirms that they are being tempted by Satan to not want to obey the Lord, who is king of that city, New Jerusalem, and they don't want to take part of anything in that kingdom in New Jerusalem, where they are also keeping Sabbath holy. Because it clearly finishes in Exodus 31, verse 12 to 17, that this Sabbath we keep is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And this is why they go after it. And this is why people think that, and this is how easily some people are blinded. Common sense doesn't even play a part anymore when it comes to Christianity with most people now. I mean, seriously, you can walk up to any Sunday-keeping Christian and ask them, is it okay to kill? They'll say no. Is it okay to lie? They'll say no. How about blaspheming God, taking his name in vain, worshiping other gods, bowing in front of statues? I mean, you just go down the list of the Ten Commandments, but don't mention number four. And they'll say, yeah, they'll agree with you 100% on nine commandments that you shouldn't do those things. And when you mention commandment number four, they're convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that you can break that one. Or you can change that one. That's ridiculous. I mean, this is. I always like to ask them, I says, okay, what Sabbath is being kept? Because a lot of them actually know this too. They actually admit that the Sabbath was never changed. It's still Saturday. But they go to church on Sunday anyway. I mean, the confusion is just amazing. But the thing that got me the most was that one minister, Sunday minister, and I says, he more or less, I'll just summarize with this, and then, because we're over time now, he honestly would preach that in the Old Testament, they kept the seventh-day Sabbath. In the New Testament, they kept the seventh-day Sabbath until Jesus Christ arose from the dead on Sunday, and then they kept the first-day Sabbath up until Jesus comes back, and then they go back to keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. And so you ask him, he says, okay, but all right, well, let's just wonder here for a minute. Before Jesus gets back, we're keeping the Sunday Sabbath, right? And he goes, yeah. Okay, so before Jesus gets back, we're keeping Sunday holy. What day is he keeping right now in heaven? Yeah, that's the kind of answer you're going to get. Crickets. He turns around and walks away. He can't answer. He can't. Because if he says Jesus is keeping the seventh day holy, and then you got to say, well, then why are we keeping day one? And if he says Jesus is keeping day one holy, well, then you're going to have to bring him to Isaiah 66. Yes. And if he's worth any of, if he has any stock in the scriptures whatsoever, if he has ever even read it, he's going to know. He's going to put himself in the trick bag if he says the seventh-day Sabbath was changed in heaven as well. Because it never was. I mean, New Jerusalem, the law of the land, is the Ten Commandments. Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.